What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm Anna Horford, and you're listening to the Celtics Life Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with my man, Luis Gonzalez. We are talking Celtics after a 2-1 week. Our boy, Brad Stevens, just got announced as the NBA's, well, I guess it's a month and a half because it's October, November, Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. Only the third time in his tenure with the Celtics, which is pretty wild. But we'll get into the games before we get into that. Lou, so what's going on, buddy?
Not much. That's actually interesting. I didn't know this was only his third time. You would have thought, considering his reputation as the kind of coach that like gets everything out of their player, from like Evan Turner to what's another example? Oh my god, I'm totally forgetting. Oh man, I'm forgetting his
just
name.
About everybody
yeah,
that's
just
played
about
here.
Everybody that's played here.
Jordan Crawford.
Jordan Crawford.
Case in point. Yeah. He was point guard of the. He was a Eastern Conference Player of the Month for 1 month.
Yeah.
There.
So I'm surprised three times. But
I know it shocked me too. I didn't know that, and I just kind of stumbled across that as I was going through the list. But before we get into that, let's talk about the games. Celtics took a loss last week. Their fourth of the year. That game in Detroit. I know when we talked about it on the pod last week, we talked about easily could have been a 3-0 week given in the homestand. But Detroit and Philly, both two good teams that, you know, we thought that there was definitely a chance for some slippage losing either one of those games. Turns out Detroit, despite Marcus Smart's best efforts, he dropped 23, 8 of 13 from the floor, 6 of 8 from 3. And yet they still couldn't overcome the Pistons, who actually look like they're like the real deal.
You see, that's the biggest takeaway from all of this. I don't mind losing to them because it, like you just said, it seems like this year they're on a mission. I don't know if it was the Avery Bradley pickup. I don't know if this is just like natural progression of the team. I have no idea what's going on, but they're playing like they think they can win the East.
Yeah, and I think Bradley definitely helps a lot. I think Reggie Jackson's playing a lot better than he played last year.
Yes, he is.
And Andre Drummond looks like a complete mismatch when he plays just about anybody because, you know, as the league moves away from these centers that, you know, these big, you know, post-up big guys, big-time seven-footers, and they look for guys that can shoot. Obviously, Drummond can't shoot unless he's around the basket, which he's very good at shooting around there. But I think a lot of times he plays teams and you know, teams don't have a way to deal with that. I think the Celtics are probably better equipped than most teams, given that we have Baines and Horford can obviously match up against big guys like that. But yeah, I think that's why they've been having so much success, is while the whole league shifts one way towards shooters and whatnot, you know, they kind of, I mean, and by force, I mean, they don't really have any other options besides playing Drummond. He's so good, you know, and I think he causes a lot of mismatches because teams don't have a way to deal with him.
I think the thing with Drummond, and I say this because the Pistons head coach said that this was probably the best game he's ever seen a Drummond play in his career. And that leads me to think that it's similar to a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. It's all about effort and whether or not he wants to put in max effort on a night-to-night basis. And when he does put in max effort, you get a game like you did against Boston. And we see what DeMarcus Cousins is capable of. I mean, he's kind of doing it right now in New Orleans. His averages are way up.
And they're right now, they're a playoff team in the West. I think they're the seventh or eighth seed out there.
But Anthony Davis is injured now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And I don't know how long he's out for. But I mean, you know, it's not like a guy like Cousins can't carry the load for a little while. You know, he did it for a long time over in Sacramento. I mean, obviously they weren't some kind of powerhouse team. But, I mean, he's used to being the guy. So, I mean, you know, maybe they'll weather the storm. I think they are the eighth seed right now. They're 12-11. But I mean, I figured they would be a borderline playoff team. I mean, they're another team too, just like the Pistons, that's going to cause a lot of problems. Having those two big guys, nobody has a way to deal with those two big guys. It's just whether or not they get enough from.
I will say that Boston's, well, last year's rebounding woes came to bite Boston again in this game. I mean, Drummond had 22 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, well, even with big guys like Baines and Horford, it's not like either one of them is some kind of lights out rebounder. I mean, we don't really have anybody to deal with him in that regard. Our best rebounders per like position wise, like Terry Rozier is probably like the best rebounder on our team. Given his size, he's not going to average, you know, 12 a game. But I mean, you see the way he's got a knack for rebounding the ball. None of our big guys.
Al Horford is our best rebounder.
Right, but I mean, that's only because Al Horford's, what, 6'11", yeah. You know? I mean, I don't think that necessarily Al has the best knack for rebounding on the team. I think both Rozier and Smart are better rebounders, but they're just smaller guys, so they obviously aren't
going to get it. But that matchup, or guys like Drummond kind of do worry me, though. As they would any night, but like especially going forward, if Detroit continues to play this well, and
that's going to be a tough matchup.
If we do end up matching up against them, I don't know, that probably if they keep playing this well, that probably wouldn't be a matchup till at least the Eastern Conference Finals, if I'm thinking about it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were. I think it was Mike Gorman last week. He was talking. He was on the local radio talking about how he doesn't think that the Cavaliers, and granted, Mike's taken some wild takes in the past, but he doesn't think the Celtics will find the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals because he thinks that Detroit team is going to be in the finals.
I don't know if they've played one another yet, Cleveland and Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I did pump the brakes there, Mikey. LeBron's in until he's not, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, this guy's been to seven straight finals. I'm not going to put the Pistons on their hot start.
And they have won 11 straight.
But right, yeah, exactly. So, and they don't even have arguably the second best player playing right now.
And Jay Crowder is also not playing very well either, or hasn't been playing very well.
Right, and we'll figure that. I mean, we figure that Crowder will probably even out. I mean, he'll be a little closer to his self by the end of the year. At least I would imagine. And maybe Isaiah coming back helps that. You know, guy he's familiar with playing with.
Yeah, that's a great point. I actually didn't consider that.
Yeah, so I mean, if Isaiah comes back, I know they're waiting. I mean, it could be weeks. I would guess it's more likely going to be not till January. But I mean, who knows? I know he's. He's trying to get back on the floor, but the I'm not ready to put the Pistons ahead of them just yet. I don't care what the standings, whatever. But anyways, so then we moved on to Philly. They still Fultz is out and no Embiid, right?
Yeah.
In the Philly game last week, Celtics pulled off 108-97 win. Redick dropped 17. Sarge had 18-10. And Simmons had a decent, but for him, I guess, subpar, 15-6-7. You know, it's looking like I don't know what the story with Fultz is. How long is he out for? Embiid only missed that game because it was a back-to-back, and they're just easing him into the season. I don't think he had anything seriously wrong with
yeah.
it. And, I mean, you know, I can understand that. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting if they make the playoffs and or, you know, down the stretch they're trying to fight for playoff position. They're still going to do that, given that Embiid might be, well, it could be the best player on that team, given him or Simmons, you know.
I mean, if you think about it, I don't know how effective Embiid might be in the playoffs, even not playing the second end of back-to-backs, because his seasons have never been this long.
Right. Well, then that's another thing, too. And maybe that's why they're pacing him now, because they want him to, you know, be able to contribute at that point. I mean, they're going to be in the mix. I mean, they're a pretty good team. So, you know, they're not quite a contender, but they're, you know, and this is a team that should get better as the year goes on. Just like we would think with the Celtics, too, with a lot of young guys. Guys get more time on the floor. I mean, they're going to be in the thick of it at the end of the year. So where they actually land in the, you know, 1 through 8 there, but they're going to be one of those teams, barring some kind of drastic injury to, you know, Embiid or Simmons.
And, I mean, historically, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Which is not exactly out of the question. But at the same time, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, right?
It's still so weird seeing them play as well. I mean, they haven't been playing lights out either, but they've been playing well, and it's weird to see them with a
not trying to lose.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow, they're trying.
It's a different look than we're used to. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and these guys, man, Simmons is looking like
fake rookie Ben Simmons.
Yeah exactly.
And then so that wrapped up the month of November. Seas were 19-4, and that's how Stevens got into Coach of the Year. The 14-2 start for the Seas was the best start they've ever had, tying the 2008 Celtics, and that was the year after we won the title. So that before Garnett got hurt, we were rip roaring that season too, and then things went south later in the year. But that's pretty wild though. 14-2, we're off to the best start since.
I mean, that's a long
Celtics history. That's kind of
story
that's nice
history.
To think about.
Very successful history, and I mean, it is nuts.
No kidding, right? Even all those Russell teams back, no one had a 14-2 start.
People still criticize us and say that, well, we're missing this, and Kyrie is carrying us, and we still don't stand a chance against Cleveland, and blah 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 blah. But the fact that, I mean, we had the best start of any Boston Celtics team in the history of the most successful franchise in the NBA.
And here's the thing. Think about this, right? And I was thinking about this, and I wanted to talk to you. Now, obviously, if you would have told me we were fully healthy coming into this year, right? If Gordon Hayward didn't get hurt, right, in that game, and you told me that we were 20-4 on December 4th.
No, of course.
I would have been – I mean, I wouldn't have believed that, right? For them to do it with Gordon Hayward hurt is – even unfathomable to me.
It makes you wonder if what their record would be with him.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
and granted, things would be totally different. Jason Tatum wouldn't be playing as often as he is. Jaylen Brown wouldn't be starting, obviously.
And maybe I know we talked about this when he first got hurt. Maybe it works out in our favor because those young guys are getting more minutes.
Absolutely.
Playing in like meaningful games. You know, I would say the difference between us, this team and that 08 Celtics team, or even the 07-08 Celtics team that started off pretty dominant, I think they were like 11-0 to start the season. Those teams were like crushing, right? Whereas we've been like losing, not losing, but we've been down big in how many of these games and like had to scratch and claw the way back, you know? And during the streak was on the line, it was like there was a lot on the line in terms of, you know, they're trying to keep that thing going. And yet now these young guys coming up huge. I think of Tatum, right? He's leading the league in 3-point percentage for guys that qualify, right? Which is crazy because, you know, back in April and June and July, we were talking about how Jason Tatum wasn't a good 3-point shooter. And that was going to be a big key to his game. And here we are sitting here beginning of December and he's leading the league. That's nuts, right?
Yes. Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, I looked up his stats yesterday. He's 35 of 71.
Yeah, I think it was 43%. Is it 43%? 49%.
49%. Yeah, 49%.
Yeah.
But just in case anybody was curious about the actual numbers, he's 35 of 71.
He's taken quite a few of them. So, you know, it's, I don't think that's any small sample size.
No, definitely not. And, I mean, he's still a rookie. He's 19 years old.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's nuts. For a kid that's 19 years old to come in and produce as well as he has been, I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's very, very, very impressive.
Now here, I got...
So we'll see if he can keep it up. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people talk about this rookie wall that rookies eventually hit because the seasons are much longer than they are in college and whatnot. So we'll see if he regresses at all. But, I mean, if it wasn't for Simmons, he'd be the rookie of the year.
Now, I got one for you. So we lost Hayward and we're still rolling, right? What if we never made the Kyrie trade, right? We had Isaiah. Now, obviously, it's different because Isaiah wouldn't be playing right now, right? But how much different do you think this would be? Let's say Hayward was healthy and we had Isaiah. There's no way they're 20-4 right now, right?
No, definitely not, because we don't have somebody that can pick up or produce the same way that Kyrie does in terms of finishing at the rim and just kind of taking over a game whenever he wants to. Gordon Hayward is a great player. He's one of the best players in the NBA. I think you could easily say he's a top 25 player.
Yeah.
But in all of the games that I've seen him play, and like if I'm wrong about this, please let me know. I've never seen him absolutely take over a game like Kyrie is capable of.
Well, I mean, but he was the best player on the three seed last year.
No, of course. I'm not saying that at all.
No, but yeah, you're right. Kyrie is.
You know, it's similar to how LeBron does it. Like, you can just kind of tell when LeBron is about to just take over a game. And Kyrie can do the same thing. I don't know if that's the result of playing with LeBron and and developing this sort of like killer instinct. But we would have had no one on that team can take over a game like Kyrie can. So I think best case scenario, if we had Gordon and Isaiah was still injured, we'd probably be, I'd say at this point, we probably would have won 14, 15 games.
We'd be a borderline playoff team, bottom of the top eight, right? Something like that.
We would probably be tied with Philly.
But even if even if Isaiah was healthy and playing, right? They're not even touching this 20-4.
No. I mean, it's hard to say because you're assuming a lot, and like
I know, no, this is the land of make believe here. But I'm just it's just crazy.
Yeah, if Isaiah was healthy and we had Gordon playing,
that'd still be a damn good point.
In the season. Put me at 16 wins.
No, but don't you, and now here's the thing, and this is where Isaiah did a lot, how many times we saw him take over games last year? I mean, he was an MVP, a legitimate MVP candidate, right? Played it out of this world, right? If he's like it really illustrates his defense, or lack thereof, I should say. It has to come like shining through when you see the start this team's had with Kyrie. Now, Kyrie was not known as a good defender when he came here, right? We all chalked it up as, well, they both suck on defense, right? But he leads the league in steals right now, or tied for the league in steals right now. You can totally see him assert himself on the defensive end. Now, I don't know if that's just Ty Lue over there in Cleveland couldn't get him to buy in on to whatever they were doing in Cleveland on defense, but he is so much better in Boston. I mean, he looks not just a capable defender, but better than a capable defender. And, like, look at how much improved the Celtics defense is, right? So if we were sitting here, like we said, with you know, Isaiah instead of him, this defense would not be anywhere near the level that it's playing at right now. I mean, and that's not for anything against Isaiah and the guy. It's not that it's his size, you know. That is where the size comes in glaring in. where I mean, he's just you guys could shoot over him all day.
Yeah, he can only do so much.
Right, and then he would have always been hindered, no matter how hard he tried, just given that fact.
Yeah, let's not forget that it was either at the point position or in the NBA, Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving were the two worst.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm forgetting if it was in the league or at the point position, but I do think it was at the point position. The mm-hmm. two worst defenders. I really, really, really think that Kyrie has always had it in him, but he's just trying now.
Yeah, and I think it's another example of Stevens elevating the guys on the team. We talked about Crawford, we talked about Evan Turner, and another, like, what was he going to get out of Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving was already averaging these similar numbers on offense last year, right?
Yeah. Probably even more. His offense has never been the issue.
Right, but what did he do? He elevated his defensive game by putting him in situations, putting him into a game plan, and catering it to this is how we're going to get the most out of Kyrie Irving, you know? And Kyrie's yeah. bought into that. And, I mean, he doesn't even look like the same player on defense that he was in Cleveland.
I will retract what I just said, when I said his offense was never the problem. Because we saw in Cleveland, it seemed like he liked to go one-on-one even when he shouldn't mm-hmm. have gone one-on-one a lot. And we saw that, I think we saw that early on in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard Tommy Heinsohn complain about him really, or I forget which game it was, where Kyrie was going one-on-one, and you just kind of heard Tommy just sigh, like, just pass the ball, the ball. And I think over the course of the season, he's gotten better as a facilitator. Yeah. And he started to defer a lot more.
Right, and he's trusting these young guys around him. Yeah. I think that was probably a big question mark at the beginning of the year, right? Yeah. You're playing with Jaylen, Jason Tatum. You know, Marcus Smart for all the good things he does. Not always the guy you want to pass the ball to, but and trusting those guys more allows him to rely on him more. And I think he's found a way to pick his spots better.
Yeah.
Like when he needs to take over a game, obviously these are times we've seen him come through big in the fourth quarter, plenty of times. And you know, he knows I think better when it's time for him to do that. When he's got, you know, if he's got somebody guarding him that he knows he can take to the rack, he does it. You know, and getting those shots at the rim, which is what Isaiah did so well last year. Getting, you know, Isaiah wasn't a great three-point shooter last year. It seemed like a lot of them went in. I mean, I think he shot 35%, which is, you know, that's
a good percentage.
Good, right? Yeah, it's good. But for, like, Isaiah's bread and butter was getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line. And we see Kyrie do that, you know, when he needs to. But I think he's got a lot more help on the offensive end than Isaiah did with Tatum and Jaylen playing. You know, Jaylen's playing fantastic.
Yeah, one thing I do want to mention quickly is Jaylen's 3-point shooting is so much better.
Oh God, and that's another thing that they knocked him for last year, right? He wasn't going to be able to consistently make.
But his corner threes are going in regularly.
And with
he's doing
all the options that we have, and Kyrie, you know, Kyrie drawing defenders when he does do his dribbling show and cut and drive into the hoop, these guys are getting wide open looks. I mean, I don't know the numbers, but maybe we'll talk about this next week. But we have to, I'd love to get a look at the wide open looks and what the numbers are for that for the Celtics, because how many times have we seen them share the ball around the world at the top? Everybody's on the three-point line, and it moves from one corner to the other, and bang, you know, somebody's wide open.
It's beautiful when it happens. And, like, it's great. Like, you know, I think it's a lot of fun watching Kyrie dribble as well as he does, and, like, all the oohs and ahs when he crosses somebody over makes someone look really silly. It's a lot of fun. And, I mean, just in general, the Celtics team has been a lot of fun to watch, especially because – you know, after opening night, the hopes and expectations for the season were diminished so much. But now it seems like at this point, we can probably make the finals riding this cast of super, super young guys, which I think is great because they're good this year. Next year, they're going to be even better. And the year after that, they will be even better.
And I'm excited, like, you know, I'm just excited for that. If you know, Eastern Conference Finals, if it lines up, it's us. If it's us against LeBron, like this year, we'll actually go into that series being like, oh, we could actually win this series. You know, whether we do or not, But like going into it with that, like anybody that we play in the playoffs, I would feel like we have a chance to beat, right? Golden State aside, that's a different story. I think we could give them a good run too, but the Eastern Conference teams, I'd feel like every series, if we're not favored, we could beat anybody. Whereas last year, I don't think that was the case, and yeah, we were the one seed.
I don't think anybody actually thought that Boston had a realistic chance to beat Cleveland. But I will say, it would be a lot of fun to see Kyrie going up against, you know, a Cleveland. Yeah, Isaiah.
I can't like see that. Kyrie, Isaiah.
I feel like that's both of them would make it a point to try to average at least 30-something points per game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know. I'm really interested to see how Isaiah melds with LeBron, because where Kyrie is very good playing off the ball and, him and LeBron kind of shared the ball handling duties, right? LeBron needs a ball in his hand a lot. He's not a spot-up player. He's, you know, he drives, runs people over. I mean, he can shoot, but he has to dominate the ball so much. And Kyrie excels playing off the ball. I mean, we see times when he's on the floor with Marcus Smart. You know, Kyrie might be the de facto point guard on, like, the, you know, roster. But at the same time, he has no problem letting Marcus Smart handle the ball. Same thing when he plays with Terry Rozier. And he plays off the ball a lot. So I don't know how well Isaiah and LeBron are going to match up, because Isaiah's not really that guy. You know, I don't think he's as good, like he's not as good of a spot up shooter as Kyrie. So how effective is he going to be alongside LeBron? I'm just curious to see.
I think it's either going to work out very well or it's not going to work at all. I feel like there's no in between.
Yeah, I think he's going to help. I don't think he's going to hurt. But at the same time, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it ends up being like they end up using Isaiah as like a sixth man and coming in as, you know, like this second unit scoring guy, because maybe he doesn't work out so well with LeBron, you know? And that's going to suck for Isaiah, given that he's in a contract year. He's not going to like that. But at the same time, if the Cavs are rolling, they won 11 in a row right now. I mean, how much are they going to mess with that starting unit if Isaiah comes in and, you know, if we see, you know, the defense take a big drop off when he's on the floor, I think he's going to end up being their firepower off the bench.
Quick question, real quick. If Isaiah comes back and he plays as well as he did in Boston last season, considering the fact that he's going to be out basically for half the year, do you think Cleveland re-signs him?
I don't know. I think a lot of that depends on what happens with LeBron.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If LeBron's gone, I think they definitely try to re-sign him. Justin and I differ here, because Justin thinks they're going to go tank. I don't know that even if that's the right decision to make, I don't know that they'll make the right decision. I don't know. You got to have somebody there to draw people. I have a hard time believing the Cavs would just want to fall off the map and just go tank.
Yeah, just because LeBron left.
Just because he left. I mean, I feel like they'll see right decision or wrong decision. They'll be like, well, we have a guy, a star here, and Isaiah, and we'll just build a team around him, you know, for better or worse. I mean, it's not like the Cavs are going to make the right decision either way. So, yeah. I would be interesting to see, like, the suitors that pop up for Isaiah, given the fact. Like you said, if he comes back and he's averaging, like, 25 points a game and looks like the player from last year, I mean, there's going to be some teams looking for him.
You know, I don't even think he needs to go off and average 25. I think even if averaging 20 a game, even 18 points a game.
20 plus, he's shooting well, and he looks – he's got the same burst. Yeah, no, for sure.
I don't think there's any – I mean, I don't think there should be a team in the NBA that just totally passes on him and doesn't even give him consideration.
Well, the problem is, though, in the NBA, it's either you're the best – one of the best teams, one of the worst teams. You don't want to be in the middle, right? You're either tanking or you're contending, and if you're not, you're like – you know, what are we doing? And unfortunately, that's like the way a lot of these teams look at it. And I mean, generally, look, we've seen what happened with Philly. It was a successful move to tank all those years, given the talent that they have now. So that's why I think it's going to be difficult to peg what's going to happen with him. I mean, you would think a team like, let's just say, for instance, in Orlando, would be thrilled to have a guy like that, that they can, you know, call a star and have, but are they really going to want to do that and just be like a middling, you know, maybe swing the eighth seed or something? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. I feel like it would have to be a really good team that has cap space that needs like the extra scoring or something. And given the way, like, there's not going to be a lot of teams with max free agent space, and I don't think any of the teams are going to be very good to have it.
I mean, for everything that he did for us, I would want...
I love the guy.
Yeah, I want him to go to a contender.
I want him in a good situation. Yeah, I either want him to go to a contender, or I want him to be, like, the guy on a team, yeah. You know, even if it's a middle... Because at least it would be cool to see him be the guy for another team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. He's capable of doing it. We saw that, clearly.
Right, right. Very intriguing. I'm curious. I don't know. Everyone says LeBron's going to L.A. I don't know yet. I don't know. We'll see. Probably, but I mean, does he really want to be like that journeyman guy, played for like three, you know, like change of teams, and I don't know. I guess he doesn't give a shit what people think about him anyways, given that.
He's going to end up in like Phoenix.
Or at least, right, yeah. Let's go. Oh, man. Yeah, so, we didn't even get to the Phoenix game the other day. Speaking of Phoenix. Devin Booker dropped 38.
I'm so tired of him.
So I don't know. What is it with Devin Booker, man, against the Celtics?
No idea. I don't know if it's his quickness. Obviously, the kid can score, but I don't know what sets him apart from other players in the NBA. But, like, we just have so much trouble. Well, let's not even say we have so much trouble against him. Last year, we had a lot of trouble against him, obviously. But, I mean, they still lost that game. So what does it really matter?
Yeah, I mean, Devin Booker, if you look at his numbers, his offensive rating is off the charts. But his defensive rating is in the friggin' basement. I mean, he is not good on the defensive end. I mean, he's still obviously valuable, good player, very good player. But I think part of that is probably that the Suns just stink on defense in general.
I like the Doc Rivers mentality here. I remember him talking frequently about this, that usually when in regards to a guy like LeBron, like, he's going to score. You just have to make sure that you hold everybody else in check.
Right. And
honestly, I don't care. He could have scored 90 points. I don't care. As long as everybody else...
Well, he scored 70 on us last year.
Yeah, exactly. So what does it really matter if you're still losing the game? Right. Nothing. I mean, I don't think.
We had a Tommy moment in the game the other day, and he says, you know, this kid reminds me of Jerry West.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, Tom. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Devin Booker is good, but come on, Tom. So he doesn't just do it with Celtics players. Usually it's Celtics players that get these comparisons, but he does it with other players too, guys. He's not just a homer, even though he is a homer.
I think he's jumping to conclusions, but we've seen him do that.
Jumping to conclusions. I would. I'd say that about nails it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Devin Booker, the next year. I mean, maybe he will become the next year.
The logo.
we'll just replace Jerry West with
Devin Booker. Sign me up. Let's do it. Tommy says so. The homestand continues today. We got Milwaukee tonight. They've lost 7 of their last 10. They won 7 of the last 10. I'm sorry. 3 straight wins after they were they kind of middled out there a little bit in the middle of the year. We saw that Antetokounmpo going nuts on one of the assistant coaches maybe that was like 2 weeks ago on the sideline. So they seem to have leveled off. They're on the rise once again after they started off the year great. They're one of the few teams that's beaten us so far, but we got them at home tonight. Any thoughts? What do you think?
I don't count that loss at all.
Well, I mean, that was the day after. That was back-to-back, the day after Hayward.
Yeah. Exactly. So you can just – I know it counts, but just throw that out the window.
Throw that one out the window. We're not counting one. But we did beat them the second time we played them.
Exactly,
so.
And I think we'll beat them again.
This is the rubber match. Yep. So, at home, I like our chances. But at the same time, I mean, Antetokounmpo is like, geez, that guy is – he's an impossible guy to defend.
But you know that we match – well, we guard him very well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have some length, and that's why. Yeah. I mean, Tatum's not an all-world defender, but he's got length when he has to play against him. When they're in the low block, Horford gets over there on him sometimes. I mean, we have enough long guys that we can make it difficult for him, even though we don't really have a like a huge threat. I would say probably Tice is probably the best matchup against him defensively because he's got length. I mean, he's a terrific defender too. So expect to see him on him a lot. I wonder if he might start again tonight.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, and then Morris too. Morris is a long guy who's a better defender than he gets credit for too. So I would say we probably have more tools to throw at him than most teams. I think the last time we played him, we didn't have Morris. So
I think that's right.
I don't know. He could have played. I'm not exactly sure about that. Yeah. But
Milwaukee doesn't scare me at all. It's considering how well we seem to defend Antetokounmpo. Besides him. There isn't anybody on that team that you know.
Yeah, well, like you said, I think it's a you know we're good at guarding the three, Chris Middleton. So we're probably better against defending teams like Antetokounmpo. He's going to get his right. So like you said, you got to try and take care of the other guys. And I think we match up pretty well with the other guys. You know that's and then the homestand continues. We got Dallas
again. I think that we definitely need to play them as we would Golden State. Yeah, it took OT to beat one of the worst teams in the league at that point. They've played a little bit better since that loss, but I don't see why we should be struggling against them, especially playing them at home. The last game was in Dallas. So maybe that plays into it a little bit, but again, easily one of the worst teams in the NBA. I don't see why we should be just absolutely destroying them. But we'll see.
But it'll be interesting to see if they do come out and like put the grindstone to them. Because like you said, we took an overtime win to beat them. Right? Played Phoenix the other day, only beat them by 5. That was a really close game. For the most part, we pulled away a little bit in the fourth, but they ended up making it a 5-point game. Well, I mean, we should be beating these teams more convincingly than that. I mean, a win is a win, but at the same time, does it become a problem when you're playing these lesser, definitely lesser teams? I mean, we're not talking about a team that's not as good as us. We're talking about teams that are terrible and they're making games out of it, right? You know, I mean, it's not like they're a borderline 8 seed or something. These teams are bad.
Yeah.
I mean, these teams are trying to lose almost, you know, at least with the product they're putting on the court, not necessarily, you know, with the players, but yeah. And then we got San Antonio later this week. Yeah, Kawhi's still probably not going to be back. San Antonio might be the toughest game that we have for the rest of the year. I mean, for the until January anyways. I mean, we do play Detroit again in Detroit.
Yeah, it's next week, which is a game to watch out for sure, to see if Boston limits Andre Drummond at all. Maybe he won't get 20 whatever rebounds this time. I mean, hopefully
let's keep him under 20 rebounds. Yeah, keep him at 18. Yeah, that'd be for the best. Yeah, a win for sure. but hey, like we said, if Drummond goes off and you know we still get the W, I'm cool with that. Let the guy get his, and as long as we win the game. But So a tough week anyways this week, with given that Milwaukee, good team, they're playing well. San Antonio, always a tough game. And then Dallas, I mean, for whatever reason, played us well a couple weeks ago. So, should be interesting. Two games at home, two of the three. So we'll see. This will be a test this week anyways.
I mean, I see us definitely winning tonight.
You think for sure. So you think tonight's a lot? At home, for Milwaukee, sure. That's a lot.
I think we're going to win. Yep.
Okay, so Dallas, then you give us Dallas, we win that game, and then
San Antonio.
In San Antonio.
I think we lose. We beat them once earlier this season. I think we lose this one.
We beat them at home, right? So the game on the road here, that's definitely going to be a tough game. So
It'll be tough, but I think they'll lose that one. And then the rematch against Detroit, I want to say I see them losing it again, and I'll assume they didn't learn their lesson the first time around.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose again. And then the stories will swirl about how Boston can't beat Detroit.
Nah, see, I think they're going to get up for that Detroit game. I think they're really they were talking after that game. They thought they let it get away. And I think they're going to come to play for that one for sure.
So what do you think? These 5 games, so Milwaukee, Dallas, San Antonio, no, sorry, 4 games, Milwaukee, Dallas, San Antonio, and Detroit. What do you think?
I would say 3-1. I say they lose one of them, probably San Antonio.
All right. I'll probably say the same. Mm-hmm. I'll say San Antonio.
Yeah. 3-1, 2-2 at worst, I think. I don't think they lose more
than two losses coming against Dallas and
Dallas and
San Antonio. Yeah.
They lose twice to Dallas. Somehow.
Yeah. Either 3-1, 2-2, either way. A 3-1 would put them at, 23-5?
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's a great record.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. That sounds pretty good. Because if they lost all four games, they'd be 20-8. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's still great.
But we don't want that. We don't want that to happen. God. So, hey, guys, check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We've got a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in the store. You can even get tickets to the next game under that heading, which is tonight. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure you let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to give you guys the coverage that you want the way you like it. So, Lewis, good podding, buddy.
Likewise.
It was our first time in a long time.
It's been years.
We won't keep you guys. We won't stay away that long, guys. So, anyways, from me, from Lewis, we'll check you guys later.
Later, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.